Bad news. It's that Father Steve's preaching. So we'll see how we do on time. By the way, it's beautiful. We celebrate the Mass, and we sometimes do this so often that we don't realize what we do, but so much of what we talk about in the theology of the body is that it's external things manifesting invisible realities, and the Mass is all about that. The externals trying to lift us up, trying to help us realize in our senses that there's much more going on. I kind of compare it to Transformers. It's more than meets the eye, right? There's some mystery here. There's an overlap. Even the incense is meant not just to make you choke, but it's meant to just give your senses a sense of the mystical invading the temporal, the heavenly invading the earthly. So all the signs there, there's a lot of history behind them and why we do the things that we do. And we celebrate this beautiful feast of the family of the Blessed Mother, Saints Anne, Saints Joachim, and their intercession for us, for our own families and marriages, that they would be holy places where the Word of God finds good soil, like the Blessed Mother, and bears abundant fruit. We talk about these things that the Gospel especially challenges us. You know, think about as our Lord was in the midst of the people of God. There's Jesus Christ, Son of God, in the midst of the Jews and the Gentiles, the Roman pagans, the elite intellectual Jews and the lowly plebes and the beginners. And he sits there and he says, you know, all the questions of mankind, God's full answer and salvation for them are being revealed right here in your midst, in your hearing. Blessed are your ears to hear this, if they hear this. The answer for their longings is right in front of them. Many, I tell you, he said, long to hear these things, but did not hear them. For centuries, God had been promising the answers are coming. The revelation is coming. Salvation is coming. But those ears of the Old Testament knew it was coming, but they never heard it. And yet your ears, Jesus says to his listeners, yours are the most blessed ears of all to hear what you hear. The irony of that situation, right? How many would have longed to have had that chance to stand before Jesus Christ, Son of God, the salvation of the world? And yet how few were actually granted that privilege. And of those, a little more daunting, what a small band actually heard and received that revelation and salvation, right? Of all the crowds, many were called, but it seems like few were able to receive it. The Jewish leaders did not receive it. So many others, the rich young man came, heard, and walked away. So few. And maybe likewise for us, there's so much being given to us here in this weekend, this week of retreat. We think about ourselves, we have these cravings, these longings, these deep-seated desires of the human heart. This longing for relationship and friendship and love, and yet we also fear sometimes relationship, and we have failed sometimes in relationships and love. We have questions about why are we made this way. I was distracted, but who knows the movie series The Bourne Identity? Anybody know Jason Bourne? He's amazing. Okay, did y'all not watch that movie? All right, homework assignment, go home and watch The Bourne Identity, the trilogy, okay? And then they just kept going after that. But he's like this, he has an accent at the very beginning of the movie. You're introduced to Jason Bourne and he can't remember who he is. But all of a sudden he realizes he has these reflexes, this awareness of everything going on around him. He knows how much money the guy has. He knows that he's packing a 22 caliber or whatever. He's just aware of what's going on around him. You find out at the end of the movie that he's this super highly trained CIA or whatever, you know, superhero almost. But the whole movie has no idea who he is. And he's desperate to find out, who am I? Why do I have these tendencies, these inclinations? Why do I know this stuff? Why do I want these things? Why does that ring a bell for me and resonate in my heart? Like, who am I? So the whole movie is that quest. And I was struck because we have those questions, right? About ourselves, who we are. These instincts, these cravings, these desires, these longings. How few people in the world have been able to come to an echo or receive such a thorough experience and explanation of topics so relevant to our basic human life, our daily life. Blessed are our ears to hear these things. But do I feel blessed? Do I realize what's in my midst? Are we fully receiving what's being given to us in these days, reflecting on it, processing it? Last night I was woken up at 2:30 in the morning because outside my window there were two cats fighting, not fighting, yelling at each other, screaming at each other, meow, 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 like for an hour and a half or 2 hours. It was a long time. And I finally like gave up and just looked out my window like, what is this? And there's two little cats. And in the middle is a Buffalo Wild Wings bag out of a trash can. And they're like faced off with each other for an hour and a half, yelling and keeping me awake. I just want to say, like, somebody hit somebody and get this over with. Like, just take the food, receive it, and give it up. But no, they're just like face off. I'm here, but I'm not receiving. You're not gonna. I just know you're not gonna get it. I'm not gonna get it. Nobody's gonna get it. So I finally opened the door, and they both scrammed, and nobody got it. It was still there in the morning. None of them got it, neither one. How silly. It was right there in front of them. They just couldn't engage, wouldn't engage, wouldn't receive the gift. I don't know. That was my takeaway from it. It's the theology of the body. We talk about like the body and only the body, right, is capable of making visible what is invisible, the spiritual and divine. Y'all heard that, right? The body and only the body is able to do this. It has been created, or you could say designed, to transfer into the visible reality of this world the invisible mystery hidden from all eternity in God, and thus to be a sign of it. You were designed for something tremendous. Is that something you're able to reflect on and process and think about? Or is it like algebra, music theory, or chemistry, which, you know, I'm not sure what to do with all this stuff. Or sports commentary, lots of information. But what good is it? I don't know what to do with it. Interesting opinions or theories, perhaps, but where does it go in my life? Is it meaningful? Is it just for information for my mind? Or do I allow that information to get digested and lead to transformation of my heart, of my life, of my relationships? Yes, God, faith, theology of the body, it is informative. And if I ponder it a lot, I can see that it has a place in my life and in reality. And it just kind of is a whole lens to understand everything I experience. But it's also transformative if I'm willing to do the work and integrate it into my life and how I look at myself and others. But without these two things, without receiving the information, processing it, pondering it, and then preparing to do the work for it, beginning even now to do the work for it, my ears are no more blessed than those ears that never heard Jesus Christ, never heard the message. That's not really funny, silly. Help me out. Just kidding. I mean, we hear about traces of God in theology and the whole concept of like God's very image is inscribed in our own bodies. Check, got it, no big deal. No, like big deal. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not, maybe it's somebody's theory, maybe John Paul II had a great idea for himself, but what did that do for me? You know, personally, I'll share with you, someone shared recently that there was an interview with Richard Dawkins, who's a very famous atheist and just doesn't have any room for God, doesn't have any sense of why we should believe in a divine author of creation. So the interview went something like this. The interviewer is Ben Stein. He says, well, then who did create the universe? And Dawkins replies, why do you say who? That's kind of already begging the religious question. Well, then how did it get created? A very slow process. Nobody knows how it started. We know the kind of event that it must have been for the origin of life. It was the origin of the first self-replicating molecule. Right, and how did that happen? Well, it could come about like this. Maybe at some earlier time, somewhere in the universe, Dawkins says, a civilization evolved to a very, very high level of intelligence and technology, and they designed a form of life that they planted maybe on this planet. And that's actually an intriguing possibility. And I suppose it's possible that you might find evidence for that if you look at details. details of biochemistry, molecular biology, you might find a signature of some sort of designer, a designer of a much higher intelligence. Well, thank you, Richard Dawkins. We call that God. But anyway, it's inscribed in our own biology. It's right there. Even the atheist is able to recognize that possibility, that things point to that. Thank you, John Paul II, and thank you, God, for like sitting there saying, yes, I did put a signature in you. I did put some messages in you about who you are and what your heart is made for. These are deep things. This question is the most relevant questions of our life. Who are you? Why are you here? How do you find happiness and true fulfillment? How do you not? How do you fail existentially? Know that so that you don't fail existentially. There's a question from Pope Benedict XVI. The question is about man himself, about what he is and what it takes to be authentically human. Does man become himself by living for himself alone and only entering into relationships with others when he can break them off again at any time? Is lifelong commitment an enemy to his freedom? Is commitment also worth suffering for? Man's fear of commitment, his refusal to make any commitment, means that man remains closed in on himself and keeps his eye ultimately for himself without really rising above it. Is that why we are here? To live for myself, entertain myself, make commitments based on what's good for me, calculate a compromise of marriage, of a coexistence where you get what you want, I get what I want, and if it doesn't work out, we just call it a day and move on to the next thing? Is that what life is for? Yet, Pope Benedict continues, only in self-giving does man find himself. Your whole biology says you are made outward towards another, and ultimately towards the other. But only in giving himself does man find himself, and only by opening himself to the other, to others, only by letting himself be changed through suffering. Why do I suffer? There's a rule for that. Why do I need discipline to form myself? Who wants discipline? I don't know, but ask any football player if he needs it, and his coach will say, you bet you do if you're going to be on this team. Only in that discipline and suffering does he discover the breath and depth of his true and full humanity. Without that, we never get there. We sell ourselves short. Even John Paul II said, human life, it's an enigma. Man is a mystery to himself. Doesn't make sense to himself. God came as man to reveal man to himself. These are deep questions. These are serious questions. They're not something you put like on the extra shelf to get to when I'm bored and have nothing else to do after my chemistry and biology homework. They are the questions of your life, of my life. And they're the answers if we have ears to hear. Blessed are those ears that hear what you hear, what I hear. So listening to it, receiving it, hopefully I realize where it goes and I can process it, pray with it a lot, not just on this week of retreat, but go home and spend time with it. Blessed are you if you came with a friend that the two of you can try to help each other live it out together in community a little bit when you go home. But then the informative part of it is good, but it also needs to transform. There needs to be work, and work is hard. There's a quote from the Catechism, this self-mastery, these exercises, it's a long and exacting work. One can never consider it fully acquired once for all. It presupposes renewed effort at all stages of life. That's work. That's mental work, physical work, attitude work. These are truths that transform and mold my heart. In sports, they talk about muscle memory, right? You do all these exercises over and over again to form the muscle memory. So you don't have to think about how not to drop the football, because if you drop the football, it's a fumble and you're off the team. You never do that. So you form the memory of how to catch the ball, how to place the ball. I never played football for obvious reasons, but I would have had to learn that. I tried wrestling. That was even more comical. But anyway, the muscle memory is important. The formation of habits, virtues, that's the definition of virtue, it's habits towards the good. It takes repetition, it takes resistance, and working against resistance. That's why you're allowed to be tempted, so you have a chance to work in that gymnasium of virtue. But it takes work. We want the immediate, oh, I want to be like that perfect rock star. I want to be able to do what they do on the football team, but I don't want to have to work for it. Well, you're never going to make it. That's for everything. Sports, dance, music, it takes work. All the more love, relationships, giving myself, which is what I'm called to be and to do, a gift for others. It takes work. That transformation takes time. But I want to be the person that my friends can count on. Raise your hand if you'd like to be a person and a friend that your friends can count on. Anybody care enough? Anybody want to be a bad friend? No! Like, it's a natural sense of, I don't want to do that. I've known some bad friends, you can say to yourself, and I don't want that. But it takes work. We look at the greatest football players, the greatest musicians, right here, the greatest musicians. Are they not the greatest musicians, by the way? They're the greatest. Yes, okay. So, those who've developed those talents. But then the greatest human beings, such that when anyone looked at them, be they Christian, Catholic, or agnostic, or atheist, looked at that person and the greatest human beings, they naturally said, oh my gosh, I want to be like that. I don't think I could be like that, but I would like to if I could. We call those saints. And they really did conquer these virtues that we're taught. This image of Jesus Christ was forged in them over time. It took time. They weren't born saints, but they became saints. With God's grace and their collaboration, the miracle happens and happened. We want that because we were made for that. And it's written all throughout your body, throughout your soul, your heart. I crave that. I do not want to be a waste of humanity, an existential failure. So the information is coming, the informative part, to know the direction, to know the goal, to know how to get there. And then the transformative part of doing the hard work. But it is not immediate results. It is not immediate gratification. It takes time of pondering these things, praying with these things, and effort of working these things. And that's the only way that I leave something like this and say, blessed are my ears that heard what I heard. And I hope more can receive it. Did I receive it? Am I receiving it? Am I reflecting on it, processing it? Or is it just one more wasted information next to the chemistry that I'll never need in my life? We asked the Blessed Mother and her parents, St. Anne, St. Joachim, to intercede for us. They know what it takes to live out the path of Jesus Christ. And they know the fulfillment that gives to the human heart, to the human life, when it's lived out fully, when it's understood and fully embraced. When we truly make this way of Jesus Christ our way, our truth, our life. When we move forward, we shift from the liturgy of the word, hearing these things, to the liturgy of the Eucharist, where we commune with these things, with himself. And he gives us a share in his strength, his life, his way. He challenges those areas of our heart that are not in conformity, but he also gives us his strength to change. We move forward aware of what we are about to receive, asking for the grace to make that gift fruitful, bearing fruit. And how I live, how I relate, how I think, how I react, what are my attitudes? From information to transformation. Amen. St. Anne, St. Joachim, pray for us.